This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is David John, a senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. David is an expert on the financial institutions and as well as congressional oversight and the political developments right now, including the president's suggestions for banking reforms as well as the debate inside the U.S. Senate over whether Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke deserves another term. And David, thanks so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with the most immediate issue since his term runs out later in the week, and that's Ben Bernanke.
Yeah.
He was just named Time Man of the Year. Some think he basically saved us from a second Great Depression. Others say that he's a big part of the problem. Which side is closer to the truth?
Well, I think that there is validity in both. There were some very severe errors made in the first term, but at the same time, one of the questions you've got to ask is who would replace him? And at the moment, it looks like the only available person would be Larry Summers, the former Treasury Secretary, who certainly would not be an improvement in the slightest. And beyond that, there's really no name that's floating out there at all. And I'm very concerned that in the event that this doesn't get resolved relatively soon, that we're going to be in a situation where the world's financial markets are going to get spooked because they depend on the Federal Reserve, for better or worse, to keep things relatively stable.
What do we need from a Fed chairman more than anything else in the next few years?
We need a firm commitment to reduce the government's role in financial institutions back to an area where this is, again, a private sector industry. The Fed has, the Fed and the Treasury, have greatly expanded through a series of bailouts and other programs the federal role to a point that the industry is very close to being micromanaged, if some of the proposals that President Obama has made would be enacted.
And we'll get to those in just a moment. In terms of the Bernanke record, very quickly, what do you think he's done well, and what, in hindsight, have been some not-so-good moves?
Well, many of the moves to increase the federal role in financial institutions have been very poorly handled and a matter of overreaching. But at the same time, you've got to recognize that this was an absolute emergency situation. There is strong evidence that the financial system was right on the verge of collapse, and it wasn't as if they had the opportunity to reflect on what they were going to do. They had to act, and they had to act right then.
Does that mean TARP worked?
No, not necessarily. But the overall program, the overall package, at the very least kept the financial institutions from collapsing. There was a serious loss of confidence in the overall financial institutions, and the strong statements made by Chairman Bernanke and various others did help to calm things down and enable us to then start to unwind some of the programs that were announced.
And ultimately, you see Bernanke as more pro-free market than any of the other likely candidates the president might think of to fill that role?
I think so. I mean, he has a history of being free market back when he was an academic and when he was an official during the Bush administration. The other potential people are much more likely to be interventionist and to basically cause more problems than they solve.
We're talking with David John of the Heritage Foundation. And David, let's move now to some of the policy changes the president says he would like to see enacted, starting with the two that he announced last week that he says should be passed in addition to what the House Banking and Financial Industry Reform Bill suggests. One is to minimize risk and therefore not allow banks to get involved with proprietary trading or hedge fund management, and also no further consolidation. Your reaction to those two ideas?
Well, these are rather silly ideas, to be honest with you. I mean, they sound good in headlines, but then when you look at these and you say, well, what does this really mean? It starts to break down very quickly. For instance, nobody wants banks to gamble with depositors' money, especially depositors' money that's insured by you and me as taxpayers. But on the other hand, it's very difficult to tell one from the other. If you have a sale and you're helping a big client, and you agree to help the client sell an asset, and that requires you, the bank, to purchase the asset for a short period of time until you can find a buyer for that asset? Is that a matter of doing something for proprietary trading, or is that something that is part of traditional bank services? There's no bright line that this is and this isn't. And what it's going to create is an utter nightmare with the various regulatory oversight people looking over people's shoulders and tapping them on the shoulder and saying, oh, no, 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 that one's not allowed and that one is. It's not something that can practically be done. The question of the consolidation is another one that's more problematic, because what they're trying to do is say, in addition to the current law, which says that any one financial institution can only have 10% of insured deposits, that they couldn't have any more than 10% of liabilities. Now, the problem with that is that you want banks to be safe, and you want them to be stable, but you don't want them to be so small that when a major financial corporation wants to build a factory, say, that rather than going to an American bank and financing it all there, the costs are too high to spread it around from borrowing from, say, five American banks, so they go to a Chinese bank or a European bank instead. The last thing we want to do is to hamstring the American financial services industry so that it loses its leadership position to other countries.
David, on top of that, of course, is the fees, or some call it the TARP tax, that the president announced a couple of weeks ago that would basically, again, impose a fee on major financial institutions, many of which have paid back their TARP funds. In contrast to that, what do you believe would be the smarter way to go here? Rather than what the president has already proposed, what would make more sense?
Well, what would make his TARP tax was amusing, because he was basically taxing banks and financial institutions that have paid back their borrowings from the government at a profit to the government, and ignoring people like GM and Chrysler and the like, who are never going to be able to repay those. The losses to TARP right now come from three sources. AIG is one, and that's going to take years to resolve. GM and Chrysler, and we'll probably never get our money back there, and the HAMP program, which is for helping people work out their mortgages, another failed effort that they've tried to do. If he wants to try to get back the money, he should try to get back the money from the people who lost it and not from the financial institutions. Although I do understand being very angry with financial institutions who didn't get the message that times have changed. It's just that crippling them with a new tax is scarcely the way to go.
And real quickly, what would you encourage him to pursue instead of those?
Instead of this, what he really needs to do is to take the existing financial institutions' regulatory system, strengthen it, make sure that it actually operates the way it's supposed to, and another thing is to consolidate some of the regulatory agencies. They really reflect the Great Depression and not today.
David, a lot of work ahead. We'll see which path Congress decides to pursue here. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
David John, Senior Research Fellow at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.